Oh, yeah.
Man, I'd be in there, man. I don't know what y'all talking about.
You like...
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Sir Robert Porter.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Time to come with it.
Come on, Blog Talk. You gotta let me in.
Yeah, I hit JQ. I don't see him.
There he is. Oh, yeah.
I'm about to say, man.
Social distancing on his watch.
Your team ain't the only team that lost this week. We gotta all show our face.
Hey, man, I was trying to get the blog talk. It went down the number. I don't know what was going on. I had to restart my phone. I'm sorry, fellas.
Mm-hmm. No, it's all good, man. I think we all had certain experiences, man. I was having challenges logging in. Gary was having audio technicalities, man. So it's just COVID, man, and just a lot of things, man. But, again, heavy heart, obviously, what's happening in the state of this freaking nation. But we'll get on that later. I know we got to talk sports. As always, again, September... The 23rd
Miami Heat
is flying by, gentlemen. So, yeah, let's, as always, kick it in with you fellas, kind of checking in. Start around the room with JQ. How are you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I can't complain without getting me around the golf fans today. And my Reds took care of business against the Brewers. 3 games to go, 1 game above 500. Just trying to sneak
that's
on into these playoffs.
Right now.
Yes, sir. Hey, man, listen. I just want to be able to have baseball to be concerned about, you know what I mean, in the last couple of weeks of the season. Being out of it and not even being able to pay attention to it, I want us to get in, don't get me wrong, but being able to have a shot in the last couple of weeks has been so long. So that's why I'm here, all my, you know, Stars and Stripes, Cincinnati Reds stuff for y'all this evening. Changed up a little bit.
Yeah, man. Shout out to my Atlanta Braves, man, for the third straight year getting the NHL title, and they've done 20 division titles, the only team in Major League history to actually accomplish that feat, man. So again, shout out to the Braves.
Got one.
That off.
Got one ring.
You know, title, 20 doesn't matter. We're the most in history, man. So again, don't try to like dampen that shine. If the Yankees are doing it, Rob and Gary,
you gotta get
this
started, JQ.
You know, that's what it's all about. You can talk ish all you want.
Wow.
We lost social distancing, but it's all good. That's what we're gonna talk about. Rob, what's up, bro?
Feeling good, man. I tell you what, this Miami Heat, man. Tell you, putting on the show right now, man. Tyler Hero, man. We got close to 40 points right now. Just got another bucket. We got 9-point lead with 50 something seconds to go. And you know, so yeah, and you know, I'm not a Celtics fan. I'm a Celtics hater. So I'd like to see that. You know, of course,
man,
I have 2 meals a day with my asparagus. So I know y'all want to know that, so I'll go ahead and tell you. Had it with some chicken for lunch and had it with some shrimp for dinner.
Lord have mercy.
Look at Curtis's face. He's like, what? Curtis' face says it all. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, I didn't want to ask, so I had to tell you.
we were going to ask, so yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. So I sent y'all a picture of that pork chop I had with it, man. That pork chop was serious on Friday night with the honey glaze sauce.
I don't know if your bathroom had to stink up to high heaven.
Hey, that's a real foodie there, though. Rob is a real bona fide foodie.
Yeah, he's a foodie.
Yes.
He's a foodie.
Well, I was just tripping off of all that love you were giving that Atlanta baseball team. And I want to ask you, did they fire the Atlanta special teams coach for that football team? Does he still have a job?
Thank you.
I'm serious. Does he still have a job?
Did those players know that they could have jumped on the ball at any time?
They did not know. Clearly, they were the most embarrassing thing. I mean, we don't have a losing style, man. That is, you talk about epic loss. I'm sitting there, we're all like, oh, I'm over here shouting at the TV. You sitting here in Marcy. I'm like, what the? You know, I'm dropping F-bombs, you know, and just, you know, and they're just sitting there watching that. They're watching that shit. I'm like, what the? You know, and I turned off, man. I almost was like, yo, I need to, like, just, you know, I'm not buying any more Atlanta gear. I'm just done, man. I just gotta sell it, that issue, man. It was just, you know, I'm making jokes, man. There's pictures of you know, the Falcons sit something about seats for they're gonna have fans allowed in the stadium on like 11th or October the 11th, and somebody's like, when can we put the section to crying? It was nuts, man. You probably saw that.
I saw that comment. What section can we sit in to cry?
There's just no, literally, that is, Dan Quinn is gone, bro. Thank you guys. Thank you, Curtis and Gary, for hastening that process, because he's gone. That is, there's no way, you don't need to know. Like, that's a coaching thing, straight up. Like, you need to tell your players every single situation.
It's been that way since you were five. Why do you have to tell anybody that? That rule has not changed since you were 5 years old playing TV football.
Not like you have to, but well, clearly they didn't say, all right, guys, FYI. Like, they're sitting there looking at that shit like, yo, like, no, jump on the damn ball, man. I'm sorry, I got to close the door.
No, you get it.
Oh, my God.
I blame you, Curtis.
Oh,
you did that.
Right up, man. We need to go to the first topic.
You get it, Curtis.
We're just listening and enjoying. Thank you, guys. We appreciate it.
Why? Does he still have a job, though? That's my question.
He still has a job. I mean, they haven't said anything.
Really?
Yeah.
That would have been the first question I was fired.
There's definitely no accountability. I guess I'll let Lou in. There's no accountability.
Trying to let the Celtics be back in the game.
Yeah, I don't even know what's happening here. But go ahead, man. We got a lot to discuss, man. I know we're going to really talk into the thing. And I guess before we get started, I know I definitely want to get your guys' thoughts on Carson Wentz, man. And Rob, you remember Scott Richmond, our resident like Eagle fan, and this dude was a huge Eagle fan. Would talk so much ish. Them jokers came 0-16, and they still be like, "Yo, we gotta kick your ass." Like, bro, come on, man. Even he was like, "Yo, Carson Wentz has gotta go, man." I was like, "What?" Because you know how them Eagle fans are. They will, like, you know, go to the hell and high water. But what's your thoughts on Carson Wentz, man, Rob?
Well, I mean, if you look at the first couple of games, he's off to a really rough start here. It's 0-2 start with the Eagles. What, 4 interceptions on that pace? That's on pace for 32 INTs if he plays all 16 games. But I don't think he's had a season yet where he's played all 16 games. 58.8% completion percentage, near the bottom of the league. He's got the second lowest passer rating in these first couple of games. And obviously, since the knee injury he had in 2017, Carson Wentz has a losing record. So that's, you know, very concerning if you're the Philadelphia Eagles organization. From a quarterback, you draft the second overall, you paid a lot of big money to. And there's no question the Eagles have suffered from injuries both last year and even so far this year, too. So you can't put the blame totally on him. But obviously, he's not playing like a winning quarterback. Right now with those kind of statistics, with the passer rating, 58.8% completion percentage, the 4 INTs in 2 games, he's really hurting that ball club. I mean, he got to a 17-0 lead in week 1 against the Washington football team, and he was one of the main reasons why they lost the game, why they let Washington back in the game. So that, you know, really hurts. And, I mean, obviously the Rams gave him the business this past weekend. And, I mean, there's other problems on that football team, but you have to be concerned about Carson Wentz at the quarterback position. And obviously it's just 2 games, so you won't totally jump the gun, but you have to be concerned at this time if you're the Philadelphia Eagles organization.
Yes, you do.
You know when I look at it, and I think I feel like we had that same conversation last year about Jared Goff. And it's both of those dudes that we both talked about a little bit, that we talked about that got paid prematurely and got overpaid given what you're getting from right now. And last year, a lot of that was the same thing with the Rams with Jared Goff at that offensive line. I know me and Rob talked about on this show where they had gotten older and they weren't protecting any better, and they started to get better at the tailor part of last year when they got a little younger at the offensive line, and they kind of redefined some of those zone blocking schemes, and that running game opened that passing game back up for Jared Goff. And I think you're seeing something similar this year with Carson Wentz, where that offensive line is going to get beat up, and, you know, you lose Alshon Jeffrey, who is Carson Wentz's homeboy. You can say what you want to about Dallas Goedert. You can say what you want to about Zach Ertz. When Alshon Jeffrey is in the game, you better double-team that dude, because Carson Wentz loves him some Alshon Jeffrey. And not having him in the lineup, you can chill. That's a security blanket. He doesn't have it, and it's affected him greatly. And when you get paid that kind of money, you can't lock on to one guy. You got to be able to spread that ball around, especially when you have that kind of ability at the tight end. Miles Sanders, you know, played a good game for him last week, and they still got, you know, run over by 18 points. But he's got to be able to not lock in and be focused on one guy. And when it's not Alshon, it's Zach Ertz, and he gets just fixated. He's got to be able to mature and be able to spread that ball around and say, yeah, I know I got guys I know that can come through for me in a pinch, but when we're trying to move this ball, I got to protect it. I can't take bad sacks, and I can't turn the ball over. He's got to learn. He's got to grow. I think a piece of that, and Rob alluded to it, is that he's not played a full season yet here. He's got a lot of fits and starts of playing games, and he's got to get some of that continuity moving. But, yeah, he's got some growing pains he's definitely working through. It's not a good look right now for Philadelphia and the money they paid him. It's just not.
Yep.
46 players, Curtis. 46 players.
Whether or not he's played all of these seasons, he's not a rookie. And you're talking about something that you would be coaching up a rookie to do in your first year, you know, learning how to read the defenses, learning how to check it down, learning how to throw the ball away when you need to, all of these things. Mm-hmm. And so this is what I'm seeing from Carson Wentz now is he's playing like it's his second game in the league.
Curtis?
I'm going to go with another coach that should be fired is the Philadelphia strength and conditioning coach. Coach to that guy.
What's wrong with him?
Trying to keep these guys on that Philadelphia team healthy. Over the last 2 years, they must not got the right guy in their room trying to get these guys healthy in Philadelphia. They just don't. Maybe they don't have a strength and conditioning coach in Philadelphia. Maybe
come on, man.
Because he's not doing a good job.
Oh, my God.
Maybe Carson Wentz is just teaching like a jazzercise class to the team. I don't know.
Wow. Not jazzercise, though.
He's taking the –
he's in the tights, you know, like back in the 80s.
Yeah. Cabo.
Go ahead, Luke.
I mean, you gotta wonder. The other thing I heard they had three offensive linemen hurt for this game. What are they doing so hurt in Philadelphia? Why are they so hurt in Philadelphia?
They run in the stairs, man. I don't know. Lou, go ahead, man.
Yeah, it actually kind of surprised me. I thought Philly's going to actually, you know, hang in there this year so far. I mean, I know it's only 0-2, but, you know, they're playing pathetically. I mean, the Giants, that's another story. They weren't going to do it much this year. I mean, Philly, you know, was division champs last year, just barely, and, you know, they're really trashing up right now.
Good call. Hey, I'm going to definitely piggyback on what everyone said, especially you, Rob, in the fact that, you know, I think that they haven't played a lot. Gary, you mentioned that he looked like he's a rookie. Maybe they're getting film on Carson and he hasn't adapted because, you know, after you kind of hit your stride, folks start figuring out your tendencies. Like you said, JQ, you're going to Alshon. Okay, we're going to lock that down. You're going to Zach Ertz. We're going to lock that down. Beat us now in other ways. And then again, you know, the RPOs, he doesn't have that security blanket, obviously. And your boy is gone, Nick Foles, and so it's pretty much him. So you would think that he would, like, step up his game, but he's just looking terrible, guys. So good call on that. And, again, I know none of us is crying if we're not, you know, Eagles fans, you know, but it's just one of the situations where they won the Super Bowl. They've got, like, a small window to get over that. But, again, as Curtis said, still, I'm still tripping out. They beat the Cowboys with 46 players off the street, man. So we're going to keep this going here. That's the funniest thing. I still remember that, Curtis.
What
did
you do here?
Going. Hey, Rob, I know we both.
Curtis, you talk about the Falcons, so you're going to keep bringing that up about the Eagles and the Cowboys.
that was funny. I'm not talking junk, man. The Cowboys beat us. And again, the Falcons are practicing social distancing from the football. And Rob, let's talk about your squad here, man, and the picture you sent me, man, about Drew Brees, now that he didn't have Michael Thomas. Drew Brees is looking like a trash can out there, man. So what say you, man, about Drew Brees?
Oh, man. Yeah, you know, I guess, you know, the question is, you know, is he washed up? And I think when you really look at it here, when you go back to the playoff game last year against the Minnesota Vikings, and then when you look at the first two games this season, you have to say, I don't know if he's washed up, but his play is definitely starting to decline. So, yeah, I think you have to be concerned. Obviously, you knew this was going to come at some point. I think it was 41 years old. So you knew at some point Father Time was going to catch up with him. I think overall last year he had a really good year. But doing he bombed in the playoffs in the first couple of games this year. Drew Brees is typically completing about 74% to 75% of his passes so far this year. He's at the 64% or 65% range, which is not bad, but it's not at the elite level that he's usually at. He's got three TDs and one INT. So you have to wonder. And right now with three straight games, if you go back to the Vikings game, he has not been that impressive. And then when you look at the game on Monday night, he only had one pass where he threw the ball longer than 20 yards. And so, you know, how much more can you get out of him is the question here. You know, I don't think Sean Payton is ready to pull the plug on him, obviously, this soon. But if you look at these first two games this year and you go back to that playoff game, you have to be concerned and wonder that is his play. It looks like his play is starting to decline. Similar to Tom Brady. I mean, when you really look at Tom Brady last year, you started to see it in the last eight games. Last eight games of the regular season, you saw it in the playoff game, and you've seen it so far this year, even with Tom Brady too, that his play is starting to decline. And are they still better than some quarterbacks in the league? Yes, but they're not at the elite level they once was.
What I was gonna say is that I saw pieces of that, but I'm also gonna say I had a dude named Emmanuel Sanders here in this off season, and that dude caught one pass with 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and I'm looking at him is, what are you doing? If Michael Thomas goes down, and you got an opportunity as a veteran wide receiver to step up for Drew Brees. Like, he wasn't even looking at him. He wasn't even getting open in that game. And that was just, glaring to me. Number two, the number 10 and number 11 was catching all the passes. I'm like, where's number 17? You signed him for moments like this. So I was a little shocked at that, to be honest with you. But I agree with you. Once you get over 40 years old, I mean, it's going to happen. Father Time is undefeated. I say it all the time. You're gonna lose some steam on that fastball. It's gonna catch up with you a little bit. And Michael Thomas is one hell of a security blanket. And he covers a lot of ills by being able to work in that short amount of space that he works in. Everybody knows he's not gonna beat you down the field, but he constantly gets open. And not having him is a humongous loss for that wide receiving core. But I was really shocked and disappointed with Emmanuel Sanders not stepping up at all for Drew Brees in that game. I really was.
Well, how much do you think there's left in him, though? I mean, at 41 years old, how much do you think? And he's gone through a lot of, he had a broken collarbone injury once, so how much more do you think he's got left in him?
That fastball definitely has lost some steam on it, to be honest with you. But, I mean, some of those weren't even fastballs that he was missing. He was missing accuracy, and that's one of his calling cards was Drew Brees is not a big dude, but he's able to put that ball in a tight window and put it on the player, and he's missing on throws that we've seen Drew Brees make. And that's more, to me, is more of alarming, like, okay, I know you're going to lose some of that fastball, but when that accuracy starts to go and you lose the fastball, not a good
one. Yeah, and some of those misses were 10, 15-yard throws where he's usually accurate in and just straight up missed them. And, that definitely is very concerning.
Well, Rob, where do you put your team without Drew Brees? Let's say that Let's say that Sean Payton's got to go someone else. Who do they go to? And then where do you put him? Do you put him tanking, you know, trying to get a draft pick? Or do you think they can still, with the rest of the team, make the playoffs with someone else other than Drew Brees? Drew Brees has been a top talent quarterback in this league for a long time. That's hard to replace. Do you have that guy to replace?
Well, I mean, obviously, I don't know if it's time to bench him just yet after two games. But, you know, obviously, I think you got to wait and see what happens here over the next couple of weeks. Obviously, you did sign Jameis Winston, someone you know who can throw the long ball, right? And so, you know, I think you can open up the field a little bit more with somebody like a Winston, you know. Now, you may lose out on the accuracy. but,
a lot,
you know,
of it.
Yeah. So that's the thing you got to be worried about. But you know,
they can get this the bomb.
The accuracy is usually Drew Brees' calling card. But so far, like I said, he's about 10 percentage points down from where he's been overall in his career. So if you're not getting 70% completion percentage out of him, you probably can open up the field a little bit more with Jameis Winston and still get at least 65% completion percentage.
I never thought I'd hear today somebody say, give me Jameis Winston over Drew Brees. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I mean, but, I said that at the beginning of the season. Both Drew Brees and Tom Brady, we're watching, and when Father Time does catch up with you, you almost fall off a cliff. And I've seen it in sports before. And it's really scary, and it's really, it's one of the things I'm watching for in this football season, both those guys, and I'm watching to see if Father Time's going to take them out. And we might be watching it.
Nice. Hey,
It didn't help that the Saints defense made Derek Carr look like a Hall of Famer the other night, too.
Mm-hmm. And Darren Waller.
Oh yeah, Darren Waller too. You're
right. Baller, though, man. He's a baller. Hey, from Georgia Tech, by the way. Just shout out to Darren Waller. Hey, I was gonna tell you guys.
That's why alcoholic.
No, hey, that's true. Hey, Nolan Ryan has not lost his fastball. Nolan Ryan has not lost his fastball. He was over 40. Hey, let's keep this going, gentlemen. Let's do some predictions here for the NFL here. Man. We got to talk about the Dolphins, and then we got to talk about the Fighting Gardner Minshews, man. So, what do you think about this game, man? I mean, you talk about somebody that's been kind of balling. He's been taking advantage of his opportunity, if you will, man. So, what say you about this one, Rob? We'll go around the horn as we always do.
I'm going to go with Jacksonville in this one, based on what I've seen so far in the first couple of weeks of the season. They got guys on their team that are hungry. And, you get rid of Leonard Fournette, you get rid of some players, and but Minshew, I mean, shucks, with the week one, he was, 29 out of 30? We talking about accuracy?
Mm-hmm.
And then had another, I mean, they had a chance to win that game against Tennessee on the road this past weekend. Jacksonville is at home on a short week. Y'all know how I feel about home teams on Thursday night football and how tough it is to go on the road and pull those off on a short week. With or without fans, Jacksonville is going to have about 20,000-25,000 fans in that game. I'm going to go with them. I mean, I like the way Miami was competitive this past week against Buffalo. I look for it to be a close football game, but I like Jacksonville 24-20 at home tomorrow night. DJ Chark, LSU, come up big.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Gosh, here we go. I would have rather had the asparagus talk.
But you know what? He's not wrong. Because you know what? I got a lot of friends that do that Survivor, pick every, when you start the season, you got to pick a different team. And about 80% of the people took Indianapolis to beat Jacksonville in week one, and they lost. And we were like, oh my God. Indianapolis in week one? Yeah, they beat Indianapolis, yeah. So it's like that Jacksonville team, and then they gave Tennessee everything they wanted. There's a lot of people that string the Tennessee defense, in your draft teams and whatnot. and Gardner probably put 30 on that defense. So, like you said, at home, short week. I don't know if D.D. Westbrook is going to play. I think Sharp's in practice with a hamstring, if I'm not mistaken. But Keenan Cole also has been showing up really big for Gardner Minshew as well. And of course, Tyler Eifert even caught a touchdown for him. So, I mean, Gardner Minshew is spreading that ball around, and he's got them really raving. And, you know, the way the Bengals are playing, they're going to pick number one again. But Lord forbid if the Bengals win some game and Jacksonville loses, what do you do? Jacksonville is going to just, you know, mortgage that first-round pick, because do you have to have Trevor Lawrence if he's going to play quarterback like that? Like, I don't know if you do. Like, I know it's still a short early the season, but Gardner's playing pretty good ball. I don't know if you got to get another quarterback. It's not really through his fault. They scored 30, and they lost, what, 33-30? Like, he can't play defense, too. So I'm going with Jacksonville.
Get Trevor and let him sit for a minute. Go ahead, Gary.
Well, are we just worrying about this game, or can I pick one of these other games that are out here on our list? Because I want to talk about the Rams and the Bills.
I'm gonna pick them all.
I want to talk about the Rams and the Bills.
We gonna do that one next. Just stay on topic.
The Rams. I'm gonna talk about you. Hey, you.
The Rams.
Watch the NBA game. What was that? What was the team? The Nuggets. Anyway, no, I could go with the Rams.
The team still, up 2-1? Bastard.
He can't even watch his own team, man.
I can't.
People can.
If you wasn't watching, he wasn't no part of that. Like,
how do you know they're up 2-1?
He didn't watch his own team.
You see all that? That's why I don't watch it, because that shit gives me more gray hairs. I'd be here tossing shit around and cussing.
I like the Rams against the Bills. Because I like the best defensive player to wreak havoc in that backfield like he's done the first two games of the season. And I think that the Rams are playing decent ball. And surprisingly, Goff has played good football so far. If you compare Goff to what he's done and you compare him to what, you know, Wentz has done, you know, because those two guys have always been compared so closely. And he's head and shoulders against Wentz right now, and so I think he's actually stepping up and playing some halfway decent ball. So I'm going with the Rams over the Bills.
I tell you what, if you want to talk about quarterback play, Josh Allen for Buffalo has been also outstanding in these first couple of weeks of the season, both running and throwing the football with accuracy as well. He's been really impressive. I know both of these teams are 2-0, but I'm going to go with Buffalo at home in this game. Aaron Donald might be the best defender, but I think overall the Bills has a better defense. And then when you look at the way Josh Allen has been playing, Stephon Diggs these first couple of weeks has been outstanding from the receiver position for Buffalo. Devin Singletary has been solid. I like the Bills. I like the way Josh Allen has progressed at the quarterback position for that team. I'm going to go with the Bills at home in this one. I'm going to go 28-20 Buffalo.
I agree. Jadavious White is going to shut down one side of the field.
Yep. Jadavious White. Where is he from, JQ?
Where you go to school?
LSU.
There you go. Going to Jadavious White, locking that one outside of the field for that Buffalo defense. That Buffalo defense is playing good ball, and Josh Allen. If you don't have Russell Wilson just going completely berserk, he would be getting a lot more national attention, I believe. And I'm with you. I think Buffalo's Aaron Donald's the best defensive player between the two teams, but I'm with you, Rob. Overall, I think the Buffalo defense is a tad bit better. And Josh Allen, he may come back to earth, and we may be wrong, but I like the way Buffalo's playing. I think they picked up where they left off last year. They're playing good ball.
Yeah, I think they've improved. I think they're better than they were last year, too.
Well, I'm going to say some things off of what you guys said. The first thing, Gardner Minshew is the real deal. And Gardner Minshew, I really love watching him because I like when these guys come in and have success. And I like when they look legit. And I see legit at a Gardner Minshew. You mentioned Cincinnati might get that first pick again. Have you seen the other teams in the NFC East? Have you seen the Giants?
Have you seen the Redskins?
Have you seen Philadelphia? I think all three of them teams might be in the running for that first pick.
Have you seen the New York Jets?
And the other New York team. And I heard some newscasters today.
Which one?
You know, on TV, on TV sportscasting, and somebody brought out that the Indianapolis Colts took Rivers over Cam Newton.
Yep.
I had to think about that hard. They really thought that Philip Rivers would give them a better chance to win than Cam Newton could.
Yeah.
That's a head scratch.
And you could sign Cam Newton long term. Like Philip Rivers is year to year at this point. You could sign Cam to a 5-year deal. He would just be what, 35 when I was over 36. Like I didn't understand it. We talked about it in the offseason. I still don't understand it. And he's done nothing to disprove that he was not worthy of a shot somewhere all this time. He's played pretty good ball for New England, and his defense letting down against Seattle. But he definitely kept him in the game, and he had a chance to win with the last play of the game. Like that, I'm with you. That's asinine.
That wasn't the defense that let him down.
Well, and the other thing, you were talking about
the
Buffalo.
New England defense.
Watching Cam Newton, Buffalo may not win that division. Buffalo may not win that division.
Who's going to win it?
Oh, we said all along Bill Belichick was going to be competitive. Whether
maybe
he wins the division or not, they were going to be competitive.
Cleveland
would definitely have a shot. But I think so far overall, I'm still more impressed with what Buffalo has done these first 2 weeks. But it's still early. It's still early. A lot of football to be played.
And they got to play twice.
Gary didn't believe.
Yep.
Gary didn't believe it. He's still not thinking he's a New England fan, remember? You got to remember what Gary's talking about. I'm coming back up, though. I'm just saying, Gary, you don't have anything to say on that, man?
I really think Curtis and JQ are secret Patriots fans. I really do.
That's that bullshit you be talking. I told you, eating, running, and talking shit are your three hobbies. That's what you do.
You asparagus.
Yeah, asparagus.
Are you going to say something about your Jets, man?
JQ was talking about fire, the jersey look on Cam Newton the other day. I was like,
Listen, come on, man. You know that white number one was tight. I ain't going to lie on it. I would never have one.
Has there ever been a 6-10 team to win their division?
Oh, are you still on that?
7-9 is the worst record a team has had to win a division.
Well, they may set a record then.
Who?
New England. 6-10.
Who are you talking about?
They're not going to win a division.
That's 6-10.
Not with Buffalo in that
All
division.
All you have to do is line up any team against Cam Newton, put 11 guys on him, and let him try and run it in just like they did last week. That was very Bill Belichick.
Come on, Gary. You know what that was?
That was Bill Belichick thinking that Cam Newton is going to run over those guys. And that line of Seattle's not that great. You guys are going to see that this weekend when the boys play.
Okay. All right. Y'all going to get your first loss, man. I'm sorry.
Their second loss.
Seattle, bro.
Second loss. We could have had
that. My bad. Hey, let's talk about the Packers at the Saints, man. What say you about this one, Rob?
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, as much as I am a Saints fan, I got to call it like the way I see it. I mean, I like the Packers. And I'm rooting for the Saints, obviously, but the prediction in this game, you got to go with Green Bay. Green Bay's been really impressive these first couple of weeks. And Aaron Rodgers looking like his old self, too. Now, the one concern you got to have if you're the Packers fan, Davante Adams is questionable and may not play in this game. And but I mean, you know, looking at it here, you know, you got to go with the Packers. I'm going to say Green Bay 31, Saints 20.
See, that's that reverse jinx BS that you're talking about. Come on, man. Listen, the Packers played a Minnesota team where freaking Kirk Cousins threw three interceptions and threw for like 130 yards last week. I mean, he was god awful against Indianapolis.
Kirk Cousins
has
been
awful against Green Bay.
He's been worse than Wentz.
Man, listen, and then you talk about they beat a Detroit team that can't hold a lead. They can't hold their water. I give Green Bay credit for winning the games that they played, and they are 2-0, but they played two shitty-ass teams. I'm going to go with
you're
the Saints. You're going to go with the Saints. You just didn't want to say it because you didn't want to jinx it. You're trying to do that reverse psychology stuff. I'm not listening to that. The Saints are going to win that game. They have to. I think, you know, that defense is better. I think this will be the first time the Green Bay is really going to play a defense that's actually going to come to play. I know how they looked against Las Vegas. Las Vegas was riding high, opening the stadium, all that good jazz. The Drew Brees has heard all the put Jameis Winston in talk, and I put the dirt, you know, on his casket. The Saints are going to win that game.
Hey, I hope you're right.
Talking about the Packers.
Curtis, who are you going with on that
game?
Though.
I think that, well, I'm not going to reverse psychology. If Father Time wins, it's the Packers all the way. And Father Time might be winning. So here come the Packers.
Oh, man.
Y'all are hilarious.
Hard to tell.
Yeah. Father Time's undefeated.
Yes, he is.
Okay, Lou. I guess Lou dropped off. All right, here we go. This is
okay.
My,
hey,
this
I got
my
one
take.
More prediction for you. My dad is sitting here with us, and he wanted to give a prediction. And his prediction is the Saints win 17-10.
Hey, I hope your dad and JQ was right. I hope your dad and JQ was right. I really do.
I will tell you this.
All
this
right.
For JQ. So. I have it on high authority from my boss that works with, that I actually know somebody that works with the Cowboys, that Danica Patrick, who Aaron Rodgers was dating all last year, was the downfall to him and his play as far as quarterback. He was talking about how Danica was like, you talk about somebody that was just like an extreme B.I.T. That's how, I mean, they're like, this chick was like unbelievable that she made Aaron Rodgers' life miserable. So basically, like, she was affecting his teammate. I kid you not. I was like, can I talk about this? He's like, yeah, please do. And it's somebody that works for the Cowboys. He's actually, he works for the Cowboys. I'll get some more details. But yeah, he was like, yeah. Whenever he come and she wanted to, like, have sweet tickets, she was just like, do you know who I am? It was, and so she made his life a living hell, apparently. He is no longer.
He made his life a living hell. They weren't married. He could have walked away.
Let me finish the statement, JQ. But what I'm saying is that but you have somebody that is clearly a distraction to your, you know, and that was Danica Patrick.
Yeah.
So he is no longer
that's
with
the thing.
And the all
when
like,
you're distracted as a football player, you don't play good football.
Well, and that's in life. If you're with someone that's not, you know, there to male or female, there to, you know, help you along and, you know, and be with you and support you.
Uh-huh.
Hey, guess what? Give them the move on.
But
there's someone
out
there that's going to be there for you.
But I can tell you guys, I spent a long time with somebody that was absolutely had all the red flags, and everybody could see them. But I let them chemicals in my brain screw some things up. and when it was done, I was in an empty house with just a mattress.
Damn.
And a sticky cord.
Wow. You've been like, well, careful. The first person they'll have when they moved out.
She forgot the extension cord.
Oh, my God. Wow.
I've been there. I've been there.
I ain't got nothing else to say after that one. That's a winner.
Dude, that's, yeah. We got Naj.
My dad's walking off shaking his head right now.
Man. Hey, welcome, Naj. We're just wrapping up some NFL predictions here. The last one we're going to talk about, obviously, is the big game. Monday night, yeah. Chiefs at Ravens. We've been waiting for this game. Kind of a precursor to, like, a great championship game last year. And, like I said, I feel like the Chiefs have been kind of holding back. And this is going to be a definitely – well, they've been holding back, I guess, as far as, if you will. They haven't been showing their full playbook. But now they go against – this is a pretty dynamic squad, if you will. The first couple of weeks, man. Come on, man. Even my Chiefs fan is on this, too. So, Naj, why don't you start off with this, man. What's your prediction on this game, man?
Oh, first of all, I have no idea. This game is like it's too close to call. No, I'm being honest, man. I have no idea. The game is too close to call. But just going with my biases and what I think Lamar is going to make enough plays to where Baltimore kind of sweeps it out. But I think we'll see an all-time classic, though. Really close game, back and forth. Every play will be big, especially turnovers. But, give me Baltimore pulling it out in the end. Close game.
Wow.
Big trust.
Okay.
I agree. I like Baltimore at home in this one. And so far, early in the season, Baltimore has been the overall more impressive team. I like Baltimore 30-24, pulling this one out at home. I think it'll be a close game, nip and tuck game, back and forth a little bit. But I think overall, you know, Baltimore just has a little bit more defense in the end that will win it for them 30-24. And possibly even special teams. Big special teams could be different too in this game.
I hate that I'm going to pick them because they are a division rival for me. But if you're talking about it, I don't know about Tennessee not showing the whole playbook. I mean, they're the division champs. They got the same offensive coordinator, the same head coach calling plays. What is it that they are not going to do this year that they haven't done last year? I think people are just getting a little bit – they're still trying to figure out how you caught it with Larry. He was big in week one, but I think the Chargers defense is actually better than people give it credit for, and they just played really inspired against the Chiefs. But in terms of talking about the Ravens, if you want to keep a high-powered offense under control, you know the best thing to do is keep their ass on the sideline. You got a good defense, but what you can do if you're the Ravens against that Chiefs defense is you can run the ball to the left on first, you can run the ball to the right on second, you can run it up the gut on third, and you move the chains and keep that clock moving, and you keep Patrick Mahomes' ass sitting on the bench. And not everybody can do that. It's easy to say, but not everybody is built to do that. The Ravens are built to do that. They're not going to hold them down and keep them and shut them out. I'm not going to say that. The Chiefs are going to have their moments where they're going to score because they're dynamic. But you don't give the Chiefs extra possessions by shooting yourself in the foot on offense and giving them three and outs, and then your defense gets tired, and then they're able to exploit it with those big hitters. I think the Ravens have enough to do it of running the ball, playing enough defense. I think they win by a field goal.
Yeah, well, those are really good points, JQ. When you really look at what the Ravens have done in these first couple of games with running the football, they have been rotating all three of those backs, Mark Ingram, Gus Bradley, J.K. Dobbins, and then you sprinkle in Lamar Jackson's running the ball too. And so you got four guys carrying the rock for them. And, I mean, they could possibly run up four guys of those guys combined could possibly come close to 200 yards rushing if they just keep running the football. And so, I mean, that's going to be a great game plan for them against the Chiefs. And they've done a phenomenal job here in these first couple of weeks keeping those running backs fresh and rotating them.
Well, I've got a feeling that it's going to be just like what you were talking about. You're going to run left. You're going to run right. You're going to run up the middle. Everything's going to be going great. They're going to have a 3-point lead. And they're going to just leave just enough time on the clock, maybe 45 seconds or something on the clock. Mahomes is going to come down and do his Mahomes thing. I'm going with Kansas City to win this game by a field goal.
Kansas City.
Well, I think, and they're in the wrong position to do this, Baltimore is going to seek out revenge because they feel like they should have been the Super Bowl champ. They weren't, but they're gonna play like this is their Super Bowl. They're going to beat the Chiefs.
Yes.
Then they're going to forget this late the Super Bowl. Y'all need to get there. And this game ain't it.
I like it. Lou, your thoughts?
Yeah. I'm getting a lot of stacks. I couldn't really hear much of it. So could you just repeat that again?
Just your thoughts on Chiefs and Ravens.
Hmm. tough matchup here, but I think I'm going to go with the Ravens on that one.
Okay, nice. I was going to say really quickly, man, that, you know, I wish that the Falcons would have did that, just running left, running right against the Cowboys and keep Dak off the field. But for some reason, we don't like to run the damn ball. So, again, we like to throw the damn ball.
It seems
so,
like that
again, you would think, Greg,
well,
you got
to run it back with arthritic knee. You just can't keep running the ball.
No. Okay, hold yourself, bro. We got three backs, man.
You about to get
them
started,
Vicky. And the thing is, again, we're getting sold some lies in Atlanta that Dirk Cutter is running the Kyle Shanahan offense, and we were successful the first drive. And he's like, you know what? I don't want to do it anymore. I want to throw the ball. They're like, what the hell? Dude, run the damn ball. And then the second half, we decide, oh, we're going to play like spread them and put like, well, it's some bullshit. I apologize. Okay, let's move back. 45 seconds here.
Well,
45 minutes here.
On that note, every time I watch Julio Jones, my mouth is always open because I'm not really sure what I'm watching with Julio Jones. And on that trick play, where did those alligator arms come from?
The LSU boy hit him right in the hand. Russell Gage.
No, he did not.
What was that?
My bad. Yeah.
No, the alligator arms are Julio Jones.
No,
somebody try to tell me he's a superstar.
But he's had a tendency to have big drops his whole career, though.
He does.
As great as he is as a wide receiver, he's had a lot of big drops.
That was a little far-fetched. Honestly, a lot of guys wouldn't suit up if they had the hamstring issue Julio does. He probably shouldn't have. He was mostly a decoy. But, yeah, he didn't make the play right there, so you got to knock him on it. But no matter what, man, the dude is out there with a busted-up hamstring. It is what it is, man. now
I tell you what, Calvin Ridley, man, is insane.
Calvin Ridley's amazing.
Man, he is off to an incredible start this season.
Yeah. Yep. I will not be remiss, guys. I know we were talking a lot about the Chiefs, and I think another reason why, JQ, that we may be kind of like a lot of you liking what's happening with the Ravens. Let's give Justin Herbert credit for making a really good, playing a really good game. Not an X to the freaking doctor for the freaking, you know, Chargers that put that needle in freaking Tyrod. That's kind of effed up, man, honestly. But, you know, Justin did play well. They'll get some tape on him. We'll see how he does again. But for the first start, he actually played pretty well. So, again, just a quick little side note about that game, too. I know we got like 13 minutes here. I definitely want to talk about a quick thing.
It's one thing to get a shock start. Hey, kids, you're starting. It's a whole other thing to have to plan for the whole week and know you're starting and deal with the anxiety and nerves and everything else. So we'll see. The Chargers defense
was just
really good,
stupid,
though. Really good. They got to your boy.
The team doctor punctured your lung, and now you're out in the game with no one to be out for. What idiot.
Hopefully he gets
that may be a
lawsuit,
bro.
He might have a lawsuit. Yeah,
he's done that.
I wouldn't play ever again.
I was going to ask, bro, can you sue the team doctor? Like, I asked that question. I don't know if you can. Like, do you sign a waiver in your contract that, like, he's a team doctor and you can't sue him? Like, I really don't. I haven't looked it up. I think that's the only thing that might save me because he's a team doctor.
This goes
crazy.
If this goes beyond a bad recommendation or something like that, this is, like, incompetence. This is something different.
I would think he has that right to sue. I really do.
I don't think he can. I would part of the team. It's just like if you're that's their job. They get hurt at work. You can't.
If the doctor told you you had a sprained ankle and you actually had, you know, a torn off ankle, a compound fracture or something like that, then, yeah, misdiagnosis is probably going to be some legalese. It'll be tough for you to sue them on misdiagnosing.
But this was
implementation of a needle to where instead of doing what you do, you actually punctured his lung. Like, nah, dude, that dude is done. Like, this is going to be a lawsuit. He's going to get a crazy stuff.
Yeah, for you.
Ain't no getting around that, bro.
I didn't know. I was just asking. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Well, Michael,
I would think
Michael
something
Jackson,
like this, he should have that right. I really do.
Yeah. Michael Jackson's doctor went to jail. So.
Yeah. That's the same thing, though.
That's not a work-related thing.
That is true.
Yeah, well, a doctor can't make those kind of mistakes.
Really shouldn't.
You can't make those kind of mistakes. You're putting somebody's life online when you make those kind of mistakes. That's not
I agree.
Professionals.
I'm sorry, Dre. Yeah,
overmedicating is a mistake.
You're fine.
That's
beyond mistake.
That's incompetence.
That's huge. I do want to talk really quickly, gentlemen. We got about 10 minutes here. We want to talk about two things I want to get to. I want to definitely talk about Gale Sayers. He passed,
yes.
Unfortunately. One of the great running backs in Chicago Bears history.
Yeah.
You know, he actually, I'll check. I want to make sure. I think he got into the Hall of Fame. I know there was some, you know, controversy because he had a short career. But he had an impactful career, but just an elusive guy, just an amazing player, if you will, too. So, I don't know if you're going to go around and kind of talk about him. The Kansas Comet is what his nickname was known for, if you will, too, man. Just a dynamic player, if you will, too. So I know we'll kind of go around the horn and, you know, obviously Rob, JQ, West Coast, Naj, and Lou. So go ahead for that, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, obviously another sad loss this year. And NFL legend. Only played about 4 or 5 seasons in the league, but had an incredible impact. One of the fastest running backs to ever play the game. I mean, you constantly just saw him just running past people throughout his NFL career. And there's no telling what kind of yards he would have racked up if he would have played 9, 10, 11, 12 seasons. But incredible loss for the NFL family. So our prayers go out to his family, to the Chicago Bears, and, of course, to the NFL as well for losing a true gentleman. A legend, someone who was great in this community, a really big loss for the NFL and for our nation today.
Yeah, 2020, just, man, can we be done with it already? This is ridiculous,
yeah.
You know. Give me 18 inches of daylight, that's all I need. Kansas Common, Gale Sayers, man. RIP, I mean, not much more to add to it. Just, you know, when you make the Hall of Fame and that's your career, you know you have made an impact. Wow, that's all I got to say about it. 2020 has just been has been something to deal with.
Curtis?
I'm going to say I'm not old. I don't know how old you guys are, but that was one of the most in my childhood.
I'm young. I don't know about the rest
moment.
Of y'all.
Are we on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your experience.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
guys,
yeah,
well, if you guys remember, one of the most impactful movies of my childhood was that movie Brian's Song.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Brian's Song was one of those movies that really made you think, what's bigger than football? What's bigger than sport? What's bigger than everything? That was a very impactful movie, and it involved Gale Sayers. And that's a movie of my childhood I will never forget.
Rest in peace.
Nice. Oh, that's right. Gary, are you saying anything? Just RIP?
Yeah, just rest in peace. You guys have said it. Rob, what you said was beautiful, very appropriate. A great athlete, short career, but, you know, very impactful.
Nas, what you got?
Nas?
Yeah. Oh, but yeah, man, I mean, that's outside my timeline. But it's like for him to have such a brief career and be elected into the Hall of Fame, like back then when they were really not trying to let anybody in, they was really strict about, you know, everything. For him to get in, like, dude had to be everything everybody says he was for that period. He has a big impact in Chicago because I grew up knowing his name, and I didn't even see that movie. You know what I mean? But I knew the name Gale Sayers, which is kind of weird, but,
yeah.
You know, that's kind of how that legend kind of hung, you know, in the air there, man, like in Illinois. So, yeah, man, that's sad that he passed, man, all-time great. And he seems to live a long, beautiful life, man. Sad that he had this happen before medicine kind of caught up because the medicine at the time wasn't ready to handle something like that. Now he probably, you know, would have just continued his career, just would have lost a year or so. But, yeah, man, that's sad.
Yeah. I heard Lou talk about that. Go ahead, Lou.
Well, I've actually had the pleasure of meeting the man a long time ago.
Oh, wow.
You know,
wow.
Yes, I did. I've met Mr. Sayers. He was doing a It was the night before the Super Bowl, and they were doing like a Super special down in southern New Jersey. And I was actually able to get his autograph. I had a brief chat with him, and it was a very nice gentleman. So
wow.
Yeah, he will be missed. And, you know, NFL loses another great player. And it's, you know, sad to see it happen. But, you know, I still remember this day that was, you know, getting his autograph and whatnot. And, you know, it was a great honor.
Nice.
And he will be missed. Rest in peace, Gail.
Rest. Yeah, nice. All right, before we wrap up, we're going to do some fantasy shout-outs. Rob, go with the fantasy shout-outs. OC, I want to talk about Deion Sanders. He got hired as the Jackson State University coach. Makes an offer to a five-star prospect. Yeah. But go ahead, Rob, do the fantasy shout-outs real quick, Rob.
All right, let me get to my notes here. All right, in league number one, Gentilly Hot Sausage. My buddy Corey lives in Atlanta. Had the biggest win of the week, 145.24 to Mickey's Ballers, 101.84. In first place, Eagles Chicks for Life. That's Christelle in Albuquerque. Her team is in first place with a 2-0 track. Yeah, she does like talk a lot of trash, too. All right.
Nice
in league number two. Boxcar Willie 02, that's Mark in the New Orleans area, is the biggest win of the week, 134.14 to Bears Nation, 80.80. Mark in Atlanta, ATL Black Belt, is in first place with a 2-0 record. All right, league number three, the biggest win of the week, Pelican Fly, 190, that's Rick in Austin, 190.98 over JQ's team, Ohio Players, 140.70. And Pelican Fly.
198.
Hmm?
It was a roller coaster.
190 damn 8. Somebody else went with 145 top score. 190 fucking 8? Come on, man. 198. That's nonsense, man. Sorry, I'm still mad.
Boy, nah, you ought to see his video over here, man. He tripping.
Yeah, Aaron Jones.
But anyway, his team is also in first place with a no record. I get to play him this weekend, so hopefully I knock him out of first place. All right, in league number four, last but not least, yours truly, my team, Flash Forward, had the biggest win of the week, 218.54 over Baby Got Backfield, 134.80. My team's also in first place with a 2-0 record, and those are the fantasy shout-outs for week number two. Looking forward to week three.
If only I didn't start 190.
198. It's just stupid.
Man,
190.98. Yep.
Freaking Josh Allen got me in that one.
All right, fellas. Nice split. Try to call my show this week if you can.
Thanks, Lou. Appreciate
I appreciate you, Lou.
Enhanced Sports Show.
Yep, yep.
5 o'clock.
Yeah, I think we might be able to do that.
All right, man. Be good, Lou. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Lou.
Lou is our dude. Appreciate him calling in as always. Let's have some fun here. All right, we have Rob, let's go ahead and wrap up the show here. We got our 2 minutes here for the OT. We'll talk about the MLB playoff race, and then obviously we'll talk about a couple moves with Billy Donovan. Jamal is a superstar, and then let's talk about Deion Sanders. Go ahead, Rob.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for tuning in to our live portion of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. On this Wednesday night, Tyler Hero, what a hero for the Miami Heat tonight, 37 points, the most points by a rookie in a conference finals. I mean, he beat names like Andrew Toney and Larry Bird. Andrew Toney had 35 points as a rookie, Larry Bird at 31 as a rookie, Tyler Hero, 37. Congrats to Hero and the Miami Heat. Thank you all again for tuning in. We get ready to go into our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't give you that portion of the show live. So click on the same link. We're going to be talking NBA playoffs, maybe some Major League Baseball, maybe some college football, whatever we feel like talking about in the OT portion. You don't want to miss it. The rest of the week, click on the same link to get the rest of the show. Next week, Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. For our friends in Albuquerque, that's going to be 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock p.m. in Albuquerque. I'm not sure if y'all going to be having a balloon festival next month, but y'all can tune into our show. 9 p.m. in Albuquerque. Good night, people.
Why in the hell do you know that? Why do you know that Albuquerque has a balloon festival? Am I the only one that's thinking that? Anyway, Trevor Bauer for Cy Young and the NL. Appreciate y'all for listening. We'll talk to y'all next week. Damn, balloon festival. Who knows that? Like, if you want to go see the Rose Garden,
it's the hot air balloon festival,
see it.
Man. Everybody knows every October Albuquerque has that.
Oh, no,
nobody
not everybody
knows
it.
Nobody knows that.
Nobody
man.
Knows
definitely
that.
Definitely
Curtis,
tell
me y'all heard of that before, right? I mean, not JQ, Gary and Curtis. Y'all heard of that before, right?
Yeah, we heard that. Absolutely.
See, I'm going to go to Tulsa next April so for the Rose Cuddle Festival. Like, who the hell knows stuff like that? What are you talking about?
Yeah, they got to educate y'all, man. They got to get y'all some culture.
The vacation day of all time. The latest vacation day. Yeah, we're going to go to the balloon festival.
Say what?
Yeah.
Wow.
It just sounds like the lamest vacation of all time. Yeah, we're going to the balloon festival.
Nah, I've never been, but I've at least heard of it.
I'm jumping out.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I've heard of balloon stuff, but not the fact you were so specific to Arizona. I'm like, what? Really? Okay. All right.
And
Albuquerque, not Arizona.
New Mexico.
Said. I'm like, whatever.
Even worse.
And he knows the month that it's in. Not just they have one. He knows what time of year it happens. That is impressive.
That's one is like that
the big one for those.
You said my hobbies is eating, talking trash, and what else? Eating, talking trash, and running. But traveling is also one of my hobbies. So I do a lot of interest in travel too.
Yeah, okay. No. Let's say it right.
That might have been a paid ad read. That might have been a paid ad read.
Sponsored by nobody. No, I said eating, running, and talking shit. Say it correctly. I didn't say talking trash. I said talking shit.
I really want to go over number 9 on our topic.
Do it.
Why? We put y'all out. Why are you worried about us? You worried about 2021.
I just want to go over number 9 on the topic. So I want to, you know, I want to hear your thoughts on it.
We lost? I'll tell you right now, we lost. You know what happened? I'm going to tell you like in 30 seconds. They came in as a 2-0 team with no sense of urgency. Denver came in as an 0-2 team saying we can't go down 0-3. And they took it to the Lakers right from the get-go. And the Lakers spent all their energy at the end trying to get back in it. And they lost. That's it.
And JQ can't even watch his own team.
No, man, it drives me crazy, man. It gives me high blood pressure and hypertension and all that other shit. I can't do it, man. It's just not good for my health.
Hypertension too?
Man, all of it, man. I can't do it. I got the MLB league pass for free from T-Mobile on my phone. I probably have watched 3 whole Red games out of these 60 because I get mad when they have a walk. I'd be out throwing stuff out the window and acting a fool. I just cut it off. I can't do it. I'm not.
Baseball is frustrating as hell.
How are you on the golf course?
Let me tell you something. This goes to your Cincinnati Reds.
Equally as bad.
I was once up an absurd amount. We'll just say that. And y'all leadoff hitter, young Asian man, stepped to the plate. Bases loaded, no out.
Oh, my.
Do you know what happened, sir? After this, because you followed the Reds this season. He hit into a triple play, man, and I didn't win no money. That happened to
yeah.
this year. A triple
yeah.
play. Bases loaded, bro. The Asian
yeah,
league for the Cincinnati Reds. Yes.
My point.
This year.
And I'd be high. My wife would look at me like, dude, what inning is that? Like the third? She's like, I'm going to need you to calm down. It is the third inning. It's like 1-0. Like, they got plenty of time. I'd be mad. I can't help it, man. I get 2-2, so I just have to, like, I check in for a half an inning or a piece of a quarter, and then I go away. I can't do it. I'm a basket case.
Yeah, look, I like sports where the talent wins out. Baseball is starting to piss me off. I may not bet on baseball again after this year. The Yankees scored 1 run tonight. How many did they score yesterday? Damn near 20. You see what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah, they lost.
I lost money.
They got their ass kicked tonight, 14-1.
Yeah.
Yes, they did that to me tonight.
Oh,
so,
man.
Yeah, baseball really pissing me off, man.
Tyler Hero win the Phillies had at the press conference.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
Oh, gosh. Hey, so, again,
sorry.
There are some topics, Rob, that we can definitely – it's all good that we can keep till next week because I know did you want to talk about what happened last night, Curtis and Gary, with the Lakers and the Nuggets? Do you have anything to add to that?
Well, the only thing I would add is, you know, when the Lakers brought it back and they were within 3 points, I was just like, uh-oh, it's done now. I thought the Lakers were just going to take a 6-7 point lead and go up 3-0. But they just kept, you know, that team just kept battling back. And I think they're comfortable in those types of situations because they've been in so many series with that. The only thing I will say in this series is, you know, I don't think, I mean, even though LeBron got a triple-double, it just didn't feel like he played very good. And it didn't feel like, you know, and then AD, 2 rebounds, you know.
AD with 2 rebounds. That was ridiculous.
You know, those two guys have got to play
Louisiana bias
for that team to beat the Nuggets. And they have the ability to play that for three, you know, for however many more games and put this team out. But they absolutely have to. I don't know if it's enough even if just one of them goes off to beat the Nuggets. I think they both have to. What would be your assessment on that, JQ?
No, I agree. But the thing about it is, I go back to it, is that they came out so lackluster. Like, you watch this Denver team be down 3-1 twice and come back. Why would you think they were going to come out against you because you're the Lakers and fold because you're up 2-0? The Nuggets came out and said, we still got games to play. We can still win this thing. And you saw AD and LeBron kind of going through the motions. Anthony Davis at 7 foot tall should luck into more than two rebounds in the game when you're playing 30-something minutes. And can I say for one thing here, and I know Rob and Andre get, you know, are like, here's JQ go again. This regular rest shit that they're doing in the conference finals, if you don't play these dudes and put your foot on their neck and go up 3-0, like, I'm going to rest LeBron in his regular time. Why? You down 8 points. They are putting a run on you. Why would you take LeBron out the game? Why are you taking Anthony Davis out the game with their regular rest? You won both series 4-1. You had time off before the restart happened. You got a time off between each round. Why are we doing regular rest when you got a chance to go up 3-0? Get blow them out. Go up 3-0. Rest later when the series is over before the next series starts. It drives me crazy. I don't understand that. Why you would do that, especially when you're losing. If you got a big lead, okay, maybe you give them some rest and go to the next game. But when they're taking it to you from the get-go, play these dudes.
I tell you what, in this playoffs, Jamal Murray has gone from a star to a superstar, and he just constantly just continues to make big shots. And he did it last night again, too. In the fourth quarter down the stretch, he was just making big shot after big shot after big shot. Jeremy Grant was phenomenal for the Nuggets last night, too. Of course, Jokic was you know, also good as well. They have more depth than the Lakers. There's no doubt about it. They have more depth. But this is what the Lakers do have. The Lakers have two of the top five players in the game. And that, a lot of times, is going to make a difference overall. But the Nuggets have more players. They have more depth on their team. They just don't have two of the top five players in the game. And ultimately, that's still going to be the difference in the end. But, I mean, they had a lot of guys that really came through for them last night. And they're going to put up a fight. You know, just like JQ said, this team has been down 3-1 twice. And they've been embarrassed in a lot of these games. Tell me, Utah had a couple of games where they beat them by over 20-some points. The Clippers did the same thing. Lakers did it in game one in this series. So they've had some losses in this playoffs where they've been embarrassed, but they seem to just keep coming back. They keep fighting. And it wouldn't surprise me if the Nuggets win at least one more game in this series. I still think ultimately having two of the top five players in the game is going to prevail in the end for the Lakers.
Yep. I call it a
what's dangerous is it's looking like Miami's going to close this out, and they're the ones that are going to be getting rest. And the Lakers fooling around, they're going to be in a 7-game series, and that's not going to be good for those old guys in L.A.
Nope.
No, I agree. That's why I was saying about the rest.
Yeah, yes and no, man. I don't know if Miami can score enough to beat either one of those teams. Defensively, Miami's going to be good enough. They'll be in the game. It'll be tough. I just don't know if they can really put up enough points. But overall, man, the Lakers are going to win that series. The NBA is not about Cinderella stories. It's about, like my man said, they got two of the best five on the court, and just period, they're going to win eventually. It's the old Matrix. Remember the guy talking to Neo? Inevitability, Mr. Anderson. You're going to lose. I'm sorry. It's not a one-game scenario like the NCAA. Seven-game series. Lakers are going to win four before you do. And honestly, shout out to Denver, man. Those dudes getting this far, that's a step in the direction that they need to go. And by next year, when Michael Porter Jr. is fully implemented as a starter, my God, they're going to be scary.
You know what's interesting about, you know, last offseason was one of the most, if you guys would think back to last summer, it had to be one of the best offseasons in NBA history. When you look at what the Clippers did, when you look at what the Lakers were able to do, when you look at what the Rockets were able to do, and you just look at all these moves that were made in the offseason, what the Sixers did in the offseason. All of these teams made all of these big moves, and the only team that's standing out of all those teams that made these big moves, and we wanted to see how it was going to prevail in the playoffs, is the Lakers. The Sixers gone in the first round. The Clippers got lost to the Nuggets in the second round. So, you know, we talked about, you know, all these big moves in the offseason and how exciting it's going to be, but a lot of these teams are gone. I mean, the Lakers, I mean, the Celtics did do to get Kimball Walker as well. So maybe that's one, you know, you could make a small case that was one of the big moves in offseason too. But we didn't see the Heat being here. We didn't see the Nuggets prevailing past the Clippers or the Rockets, or even the Utah Jazz were getting Mike Conley. So, I mean, it's the Lakers, out of all the teams that made a big move last summer, they're the only ones that are still standing.
There you go, yeah. JQ. Get some props.
That's true.
Gentlemen.
Go ahead. I was done.
Gotcha. All right.
Yeah, and hopefully Billy Donovan pays Chris Paul a little bit of his direct deposit every month for getting that job in Chicago. He is an average to a little better than average coach. Chris Paul ran that damn team and got them to the playoffs, and now my man gets the profit off it. Kind of similar to what he did with Joe Kim, Horford, and everybody in Florida. So, yeah, Billy Donovan, riding.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll give him a little bit more credit for what he did at Florida, only because he recruited and he coached him. But, yeah, I agree with you with the Chris Paul assessment at OKC. I mean, Chris Paul was really motivating that team, encouraging guys to shoot the basketball. They're wide open. I mean, he was doing a really good job. I totally agree with you with that OKC. I give him a little bit more credit for what he did in Florida, though. And he's probably a better college coach than what he is. He's probably a better college coach than what he is in the NBA, too. I will say that.
I agree.
Wow. Hey, do you have any last topics you want to talk about? Naj hit it with Billy Donovan. We're going to talk about that, too. But anything else you got to talk about as we get ready to wrap up this show? We'll go around the horn.
I guess the only thing I would talk about is the NFL. We see right now, like, look, it's not the preseason games that are important. It's the thing of the coronavirus taking away people's off-season workouts, training regimens, getting their bodies the way they want them to be. So now we start these games, and people are just falling, man. This is a season of attrition. Like, there is no way to predict who's going to make the playoffs, who's going to be great, because we don't know who's going to be left standing. So this might be a really exciting NFL season for that reason. And the Jeff Driscolls of the world will be getting snapped. So, yeah, it's going to be scary out here, bro.
And Mullins for the 49ers. Yeah, no, that's a good point because that was just crazy this past week. I don't think I've ever seen you be able to field almost a Pro Bowl roster of dudes that got hurt in the same day. Like, that's just wild. I was going to take it, of course, back to baseball. We've got – I'm loving the 18th in this season. I hope they don't do this moving forward for 162. I think that devalues the 162-game season. But for a 60-game sprint, you know, the 8 in the AL and the 8 in the NL, I'm really looking forward to. You got, you know, six already clinched in the AL, so we're coming down to probably, you know, I'm looking like the Blue Jays and the Astros are probably going to get in. The Angels have an outside shot like the Mariners, but probably not. But the NL is where it gets really interesting when you got the top four, and then you got the Cardinals, the Reds, the Marlins, the Giants, and the Phillies, and the Brewers. And that was really big by Cincinnati to take two or three from the Brewers. They have, you know, taken the season series 6-4, so they're on the tiebreaker against them.
That's great.
But the thing that's interesting about this is the fact that St. Louis had so many games called early in the year. Remember, because they was out there wilding and playing the Phillies and the Marlins with the whole COVID piece. The Cardinals and the Brewers play, I believe, 5 times over the next 4 days. And if they end up in a tie, then the Cardinals have to play their 60th makeup game on a Monday. So that really impacts that seating there in the NL, especially in the NL Central. But just fascinating how that works out with, you know, them missing so many games, them having to play. Can you imagine having to play the same team 5 times in 3 days or 4 days? That's crazy. I'd be ready to fight them dudes by Saturday. They've got like 2 double hitters. You know what I mean? And they're like, I'm tired of playing against you. This ain't the Grapefruit League. Can we go and see somebody else? Good God almighty. But I'm really interested to see how that plays out.
Say, all because Carlos Martinez want to go out to bars and shit. Like, yeah, that ain't
right.
Good.
Yep. I'm done, Dre.
Hey, at least he has some wings, man. Like, not, at least he's not like Lou Williams.
Hey, oh, man. Hey, word on the street is Carlos Martinez likes to pull up to bars where young college women are in his fresh car, telling them he's an MLB player and getting it in. So, you know.
Wow.
Wouldn't you
always
like
24? That guy.
Man,
it's
listen. Now, you can't do it during COVID. But if I was 24 and I was
COVID.
In the start rotation for anybody, I would be flexing just as hard. I'm not even going to make – I'm not mad at it.
Yeah, but you wouldn't dip in the college pool. You'd be at the club with the grown women. Come on, man.
How old is he? 24?
I think you're right.
Picking, easy you're picking,
right.
Low-hanging fruit, though, man. I don't know, man.
Low-hanging fruit, baby.
I want to talk about something. So Curtis, you know, he was a runner back in the day. You know, up until just recently, he was a runner.
21.
Okay. So Curtis was in this race, Hood to Coast race, big race up here. First leg of the race, and Rob's been here, from Timberline Lodge down to Government Camp, about a six-mile run. Curtis's team, and Curtis was the lead guy on his team, was paired up against the New Zealand Olympic running team. And Curtis held him off and won his leg and beat those guys.
Nice.
And came down the hill in 4 minutes and 10 seconds a mile, over 6.5 miles.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, you guys,
very nice.
You guys look up that. You can look that up on the internet. It's called the Hood to Coast Relay, and it is one of the super-duper events out here, out west, all over the nation. And people all over the world come and try to enter that. And what brought that up for me is I was over picking up Curtis tonight for the show. And all over town, he's got these medallions and these gold medals and all this stuff all over his house. So what I want to do next week is I told him, I said, I'm going to pick all those things up. I'm going to put them around your neck and you know, wear them to the show next week. So we're going to do a
nice
show and tell next week. But I'm going to show you guys this T-shirt this week.
Nice.
We're going to talk about Yellowstone. And we're going to talk about one of these things. I'm in the stall taking a doo-doo.
Come on, dog.
And stuck his head in the window, almost knocked me off the stool.
Wow.
This happened just a couple days ago. Man, what a trip. Yellowstone National Park.
Ooh, man. Oh, my. I was unprepared for that. But I don't know why I'm unprepared for you at this point, Curtis, because I should have my mind wide open like the Grand Canyon, because you might come from anywhere, but I was unprepared for that statement. Wow.
There's not
no,
to say
no, no kind of privacy. None.
Oh my God.
I have to try to talk to a moose about privacy. Oh my God.
Wow. And real quick, wow. Hey, Nas, Carlos Martinez is 29 years old, so yeah, I take back everything I just said. You cannot be stunting on the college girls at 29. You got to be bigger than that.
Man. At that point.
I didn't know he was 29.
Wow. That's crazy. Gary, do you have anything else to add? Anything you want to talk about before I pass it to Rob and wrap this up?
No, Rob, go ahead and wrap this up. Good night, guys.
All right. Yeah, last thing I'll touch on, I know a few of you have already, but the injuries from this past week. I mean, just listen to some of the names. Saquon Barkley, out for the year. Garoppolo, we don't know his status. Drew Locke is probably going to miss 2 to 6 weeks. I mean, look at the 49ers. In addition to Garoppolo, Nick Bosa, out for the year.
Yeah.
Solomon Thomas, Raheem Mostert. Paris Campbell for the Colts. Safety, Malik Hooker for the Colts. Linebacker, Anthony Barr for the Vikings. Rams, Cam Akers. The Falcons, right tackle, Khalil McGarry. How long is he out, Andre?
Khalil McGarry, like
3 to 5 weeks. It's like 3 to 5 weeks, right? He's got a high ankle sprain?
Yeah, high ankle sprain. Yeah, he's gonna try to come back. We're going to say 3 to 5 weeks.
Yep. Yeah. Miami, cornerback Byron Jones. I know y'all Cowboys fans probably like, you know, they're good for him, right? He left y'all nice hurt. But anyway, Saints, well, Michael Thomas, well, he was really got hurt in week one, but the injuries, and as Naj mentioned earlier, I mean, that's a really good point here. You know, they probably didn't have the normal strength and conditioning offseason that they would have normally had due to coronavirus.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, a lot of people, I don't think a preseason has anything to do with it personally, in my opinion. I totally agree with that. I don't think it's a preseason. Number one, football is a collision sport. You know, I always say basketball is a contact sport. Football is a collision sport. And then we not then you know double that with the abnormal off season. That's probably why we're seeing so many injuries so far in these first couple of weeks. But I hate to see anybody get hurt, even the teams I hate like the Falcons and the Cowboys. But you know. I like to see everybody play with the best players, you know, so we can, you know, we want to see the best players play as fans. But anyway, we'll move on. Next week, once again, Wednesday night, we'll be on at 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. Yeah, and once again, our friends in Albuquerque, it is 9 o'clock. JQ just got educated tonight. You know, there's no hot air balloon festival probably going to be going on in Albuquerque this year. So y'all tune into our show, you know, the whole month of October. 9 p.m.
Damn.
Mountain Time. Come on, Albuquerque, wake up. Ain't nothing else going on.
Well, I got to get my damn reservation.
When he starts doing reads for Amazon, y'all know he is getting paid.
You right?
Hey, guys.
Hey. He's got a deal going on, and we expect our cut.
Give me a quick second. Hulu has live sports. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Wow. And you forgot Carlos Sutton, like you said, and A.J. Brown from Tennessee. So, yeah, you got more injuries.
Yeah, Carlos Sutton, isn't he out for the year too, right?
Yep, and A.J. Brown's out for multiple weeks with a knee injury. So, yeah, it's been bad. And I'm sorry, I didn't want to gloss over it. That's phenomenal, Curtis. That's really good stuff, bro. You keep it up. You keep that fight alive, man.
Yes.
Absolutely.
We want to see those medals, man. Keep fighting.
Yep. And
we're gonna dust them all off and bring the ball
10 yards down the field next week. We'll see. That's a real mystery.
Craziness. All right, gentlemen. My phone keeps going out, so sorry to tell me something at it. So time to get off this line. Hey, but nothing brings me more excitement than to be a Raiders fan and beating the Saints, man. So again, Rob, I just want to tell you that, man. So you know, again, Cowboys beat us, man. I was messy, man, because we lost too, man. So I can't say ish, man. So I'm like, yeah, we practice.
Hey,
that boy Drew Brees looking like Larry Holmes, flabby and sick. I don't know.
Oh.
That came from
wow. Hey, we lost. There's nothing I can say, so I ain't got nothing to say. I can't even come back, but it's nothing.
Ooh, that was Larry Holmes.
Wow.
That was from left field, bro. On that note,
wow.
Shout out to Tupac.
Yeah. All right, guys. See you next week.
I got nothing to say. I can't even defend the Saints. They lost.
I can't say it either, man.
Congrats
to
the Raiders.
I gotta send you your thing for Blog Talk. I'll send that to you guys this week, tomorrow. I forgot to charge you guys for last week, so just FYI, man. But just, you know, just show me some love, man. So I'll send it out to you guys as well, man. So be good.
Okay.
Love you guys a lot, man. So again, be safe. Gary, can't wait to see you in the RV, bro. So whenever you're making that trip, man, give me a heads up, man. Okay, I'm serious. I cannot wait if you're making any trips, man. So,
oh yeah.
Congrats, man.
Yeah.
I love it, man.
I was supposed to go. I was supposed to go down and get the RV tomorrow, but they're doing a few things on it, so it's going to be next week when I go down and get it. But yeah, I'm bringing it up here.
Pictures, man.
Looking it up.
Yeah.
And we're heading out. We'll be down that way. I'm bringing my golf clubs too.
Make sure all those hurricanes are out of the way.
It finally stopped raining here in Houston. It rained for like 3 days straight. So it rained for 3 days nonstop here in Houston, and it finally stopped. I'll tell you, we've had flooded roads and everything here in Houston the last couple of days.
James, what was the score today?
We ain't gonna talk about that. I didn't play all 18 anyway. Good darn.
What'd you shoot for your 9? Come on.
46.
Oh, that's good. 46
no,
is a good
not.
Score.
Yeah, no, it's not. Is. Stop. Don't patronize me, Gary. No, it's not.
It is too. 46 is a good score. That's what I was fighting with you.
No, I appreciate that, but I'm just trying to get it going. But definitely bring it so we can go play.
Yeah, so I'll do that.
Be safe, guys, and don't be like Notre Dame, and you know, or get any type of challenges. I know their game has been rescheduled too, but get, you know, keep your mask, be safe, all that fun, guys. Again, we will see you guys same time, same channel next week. I'll be driving to Charlotte. I'll be back on the road, so I'll see you guys and try to make it happen for sure, man. But again, World Warrior number one. Guys, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Good hand hygiene, everybody. Wash your hands.
And your ass.
And your ass.
Yeah, be safe.
All right, Naj, we'll talk to you next week, bro.
All right, y'all.
You got to be good.
All right, y'all.
All right.